Director Borja?
Here.
Director Perez-Gil? Director Rogers?
Here.
Director Matthews?
Here.
Vice President DeLara?
Here.
And President Zinga?
Here.
Can I ask Director DeLara to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
All join me in Pledge Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? At this time, we have comments from the audience are made on items that are not on the agenda, that are of the public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The board has a policy of limiting speakers to no more than 3 minutes. The board cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on agenda items when they come up for discussion and or action. Is there any public comment? All right.
Are you asking me a question?
No.
Patricia Soleil?
Not yet.
She's in Colorado. Megan's at altitude.
All right. Before we begin the process of appointing new board members, I'd like to go through the process that we're going to have today. First of all, I want to thank everybody for attending and the people who have self-nominated to be in this position. To fill the vacancy in Zone 5, and I want to go over some of the ground rules. The order of the candidates has been randomly selected by the draw, and they are listed on the updated agenda. While this is an open meeting and each of the candidates are free to watch the other applicants as they are interviewed, to ensure that the process is fair, the board asks that, as a courtesy to the other applicants, that applicants who are not being interviewed wait in a separate area until called. Mr. Espinoza will escort the candidates to and from the separate area when it is his or her turn. The board members will have reviewed each of the applications, and each board member will have an opportunity to ask questions of each candidate. And by the way, a suggested list of questions, suggested but not required, has been given to each of the directors, as long as some samples of questions that are not appropriate to ask. At the conclusion of the interviews, the candidates will be asked to return to the meeting room, this meeting room, and I will open it up for board discussion. Following board discussion, the nomination and voting process will begin. Since the interviews are between the board and the candidates, there will be no public input. At the end of the interview process and following board discussion, if any, I will announce that nominations are open. As more than one person may be nominated, nominations shall remain open until all nominations are made by the board members. To ensure that all potential nominators are provided an equal opportunity, I will ask, are there any other nominations? When there are no further nominations, I will indicate that the nominations are closed. Mr. Scott, our attorney at law, will pass out individual ballots, and each board member will write their selection. In keeping with the requirements for transparency and open voting, the completed ballots will be handed back to Mr. Scott, whereupon the voted selection of each board member will be read aloud. The paper ballot method will be utilized on the first and any subsequent needed ballots until one of the nominated candidates garners at least 4 votes, which is a majority of our board of 6. But right now there are only 5 people here, but anyway. The paper ballot will be utilized on the first and any needed subsequent ballots, as always said that. When one of the candidates achieves 4 votes, I will ask for a motion and a second on the appointment resolution and on a roll call vote. After the resolution is passed, Mr. Scott will administer the oath of office to the new director from Zone 5. And my understanding is that we will then be having a closed session afterwards, which the new director will be invited to. At this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Espinoza to escort all of the candidates except Patricia Saleh out of the room, who is already out of the room, and also acknowledge that Director Perez Gill has just entered the room. We have a few minutes till everybody is settled. Do I need to wait for her to come back, or
no? No, we're done.
Okay. Okay. Great. So our first candidate is Patricia Saleh, and I'm going to ask her to make a few comments, and then the board can ask questions. We have looked at your what you submitted, but if you'd like to highlight anything or add anything to it, now would be a good time. And how what are we limiting the presentations to?
Probably 5 to 10 minutes.
5 to 10 minutes max. Okay.
Okay. All right. I did work for Desert Hospital at the time. I was the communications manager between 1986 and 1987. And it was my fortune, good fortune, to understand a lot of the problems that the hospital has in increasing its ratings as opposed to a private hospital like Eisenhower Medical Center. It is basically the concern of doctors and all those who are participating, from my recollection, that the hospital be a positive financially for all concerns. Many doctors at the time were in finding it difficult to pay for the operating rooms. The pricing didn't appeal to them, and some of them opened up their operating rooms outside the hospital. So I remember that that was something difficult then. I don't know how exactly the hospital has progressed since then, but it is a concern that people understand out in the community what goes into the rating system. And I think public relations is one of the top priorities for the hospital. So that's all I think I'll say right at this moment. I live in Thousand Ponds. I serve on the Thousand Ponds Community Council. And I'm aware of the concerns of the community there in Thousand Ponds, which includes a high percentage of Latino families. And we have a school there, an elementary school. And so we have a lot of children and older people. There are lots of seniors who live in Thousand Palms. So I think that mix is helpful in determining what the hospital is trying to accomplish. From the one meeting I sat in on before I left for Colorado to get married, I noticed how you were trying to be very even Steven about the distribution of services for all the communities that Desert Hospital serves. I also noticed in the ratings and the demographics about the hospital that Desert Hot Springs is a very big user of Desert Hospital services, which is understandable. I've worked in Desert Hot Springs for about a year. I was the general manager of a spa resort there, and So I understand the needs of that community. There's very little in the way of medical services, or there has been in the past. I think they're getting things organized better now than before. But anyway, those are my comments.
Very good. Very good. And now I'll ask any board members if they would like to ask any questions. Should we start at one end and go to the other?
Sure.
Karen, do you feel like starting?
Sure, yes. Hi, Patricia. This is Karen, Director Karen.
Can you hear okay, Patricia?
Hello.
Great.
Yes, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Besides the services...
Okay, I have us on speaker, please.
Besides the services provided at the hospital, are there other areas of unmet healthcare needs in the community that you believe should be addressed by the district?
I think transportation is a huge issue. Getting people to the services, the health services they need, is very important. And there are, communication within the Hispanic community is extremely important. They have to trust who they're going to visit, and I made the comment at the meeting that I attended that the census did not include many people who live in Thousand Palms because they refused to fill out the census. They were frightened by that possibility. So I do believe that the hospital is making a valiant effort to ignore people's legal status or any other issues that would stop them from getting service at the hospital. And that is a humanitarian thing that a hospital should be known for. So that's my, those are my feelings.
Mark?
As you may know, the district expanded to a larger area, which goes east of Cook Street and goes all the way to the Salton Sea. Currently, the hospital is funded from tax dollars from the existing district, but there's no taxable funding to deal with the expanded area and the residents there within. Do you have any ideas or thoughts on how we might raise funds to deal with that?
I think the grant process is probably the best option. There are grants out there, and I know the hospital has great grant writers that have always been part of the hospital process. I know that the expanded area presents a great many more challenges than existed when I was working at the hospital. So that is, to me, your best option.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Patricia, this is Leti Dallara, and my question is, what is your understanding of the role and duties of a healthcare district board member?
I believe it's to bring the considerations that are most important to the board from the area that the board member serves. And I'm in that position to glean information from the people in Thousand Palms and within a Region 5. And I feel that would be my main consideration.
Thank you. This is Les Sendel. One of the major issues that the board faces in the next year and a half is dealing with the last 8 years of the lease that the healthcare district has with Desert Regional Hospital and the leasee tenant.
Yes.
Do you understand the history of the lease and what the issues we face as we are looking to come to the end of the lease, especially in terms of issues like seismic and things like that? What do you know about it, and what kind of thoughts do you have about that relationship that has existed for 22 years now, and what will happen over the next 8 years and beyond?
I think Tenet has served the region pretty well. There are some organizational problems in the JFK hospital that I think should be able to be addressed. I had loved ones in that hospital on a couple of occasions, and so I've seen the difference between Desert and JFK, and it's just my feeling that Desert is more organized, and so I think Tenet, I don't know how Tenet is addressing that problem, because I haven't been inside your business up until this point, but I think that would be a major consideration as to whether or not you want to continue on with Tenet. JFK does not, among people that I know that would ordinarily go to JFK, they're not pleased about it. And that shouldn't be the case. All the hospitals under Tenet supervision should be exemplary. And for some reason, that isn't happening right now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, Patricia. This is Carol Rogers. My question is having to do with some of the unmet needs in the community that the district should be addressing. Do you have any ideas on how the district might go about fulfilling those needs?
Honestly, I think transportation is one of the key issues. And I don't know what the hospital can do to work with Sunline, perhaps to provide some services to seniors who don't drive. I know that many of the insurance policies cover transportation, but it may not be enough for them. I am personally acquainted with people who do without certain medications and things of this sort because they just can't get to the pharmacy. And, you know, in order to serve the people well, all aspects of their care have to be top-notch. And so somebody watching out for them, there are insurance companies that will help people maintain, you know, they'll have a nurse that they can call, etc. But sometimes nurses and doctors don't agree on the treatment. And I've been through that with my father and my late husband. And fortunately, we had a wonderful primary doctor in Dr. Hugh Nasser, who kept on top of the situation all the time. And so we had a second opinion. When people get older, they don't always know how to go about managing their own care. So they rely heavily on whoever they're talking to, in their insurance or at the hospital. And so I think that is an area of concern that I'd love to see the hospitals be able to address.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions that directors would like to ask? No? Well, thank you very much, Patricia. And
you're very welcome.
You are welcome to stay on the call as long as you'd like. We'd ask that you put the phone on mute so that we don't hear anything from you, if that's all right. And now we will ask the second. We will ask the second applicant, Mr. Shore, to enter the room. Everybody comfortable with the process?
Patricia, just so you know that there's another candidate that's going to call in after this next candidate, okay? And you're obviously welcome to listen in since you've already interviewed.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Hello, Mr. Shore.
Good morning.
Where's your wife?
Why don't we I think the easiest thing would be if we could make a little room right here. I think
right here.
Be good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that's a great idea.
What we're going to do is ask you to say a few words. We will have read your CV, but if there's anything else you want to add or emphasize in a few minutes, that would be good. And then I will ask the board members if they have any questions for you. All right.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Arthur Shore. If you've seen my curriculum vitae, you know that I've been in the healthcare industry full-time since 1970, both as a practicing hospital administrator for 16 years in community-based, not-for-profit teaching hospitals. I've been an educator since 1976 at Wayne State, USC, Madison, and currently at George Washington University. When I retired from line hospital administration after 16 years of taking beatings, I started a consulting practice for hospitals and physicians, and in fact started the first consultancy for physicians in private practice in 1 to 5 person groups, because there were none in 1983 when healthcare financing was changing, and I saw the need for helping physicians whose financial pants were going to get tight, and they didn't even know what they didn't know. And I have been doing that since then. I formally retired about 7 years ago, but the world has not allowed me that privilege, so I am today semi-retired. I still do some consulting, I still do some teaching and mentoring, and I actually serve as an expert witness on hospital corporate negligence matters. I'm happy to answer whatever other questions you might. And I've been sitting on the finance committee as a community member for the past 3 years.
Great. Director Periscope. Yeah.
What do you think are the biggest challenges currently facing the district?
The district?
And why?
Well, the impending renegotiation with Tenet is a major agenda that the district is going to have to deal with. Retrofitting the hospital in order to meet seismic requirements is an issue, though that's a capital item. And then the district, like every other hospital in the United States, has to deal with the evolving, for lack of a better choice of words, agenda in healthcare, healthcare administration, government policy, in political policy, financing. Those are the principal issues that I see.
There's so many health disparities out there in our Coachella Valley, and I'm wondering if you have any feeling about how what the district's role is in solving those community problems.
Well, I think that the move to expanding the scope of the district's footprint to the east is a strategically wise move. The medically underserved population in our country is an issue. The district has that as a major agenda. And to the extent that the district can provide preventative care, wellness management, keep people out of the hospital, keep people out of the emergency room, I think that would go a long way to addressing the needs of the community.
As you know, we expanded the district to the east side, and since 1940 whatever, we've been getting a certain amount of money per year from the county based on the property taxpayers west of Cook. We've expanded now, but the county doesn't want to give us any more money of that from the people that live in the east, and because of Prop 13, things like that, they just don't have the money. Do you have any ideas for how we could raise more money to meet the needs, especially knowing the disparities that exist between the east and the west, and how in many ways the needs are greater in the east than they are here?
I don't know the answer to that question. I frankly am hearing it in this context for the first time, and it's too complex an issue for me to try to answer standing on one foot. I'd welcome the opportunity to undertake that as a challenge, but as we sit here today, sir, I can't address that question. I'm sorry.
Okay. Why do you want to serve on the board?
In 1967, I made the decision to do something that most of my colleagues back east chose not to do. I chose not to become a lawyer. I chose not to become an entrepreneur. I chose to pursue a career in the healthcare industry. I did so for a number of reasons, some personal and some professional. I made the right decision for a whole lot of reasons. My whole professional being is that of a healthcare administrator. I am living in this community. I have time, if you will. I have interest. I have motivation. I have skills. And I'm happy to put the combination of those at the convenience of the district. On a more selfish note, it provides me with a sense of purpose. And in some instances, self-actualization.
Dr. Matthews.
Yeah, Mr. Short, first of all, thank you for your service on the Finance and Administration Committee. You've been a real delight as part of that. But from that position, you've been able to observe the district, and I'm curious, what do you think the opportunities for improvement are for either the district or we as directors? From that seat that you sit in?
Well, I don't have any feel for the role of the district board. Frankly, I'm just an ignorant of that. The healthcare in the Coachella Valley, in some ways, is lacking, with all due respect. There are some qualitative issues that I can see coming from Los Angeles, coming from a bias of having been at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center for many years. And I think the potential for finding strategic ways to improve healthcare are the fundamental issues that has to come to bear in the strategic planning of the board, as it does with the issues for growth and development and proper funding. The issue is, when it's all said and done, is access to care, making sure that the community needs are served, and doing it in the context of first class quality.
Thank you.
Director Borja?
Let me see if I can word this. Hello. Thank you for your application. We appreciate getting to know you through what you sent. So we recently expanded to include 250,000 more people into the district. How do you think that the board should lead in encompassing, as you're saying, right, like the preventative care?
Excuse me,
How do you think that the board should lead?
Lead?
Mm-hmm. In continuing to do, as you say, in continuing to provide the services that you say are needed, like preventative care?
Well, the board has to develop the strategic initiatives. It has to engage with the local political municipalities to see if there are joint opportunities to collaborate on sites, on programming. There's some wealthy communities in the Coachella Valley that can be reached out to, if you will. But it really comes down to making it a priority. And if you make it a priority, to answer your question, then you now put it into the context of developing a strategic plan. And I learned something many, many years ago from a very wise man. He was someone who had a lot of slogans in his office. And one of the slogans, which I have never forgotten, was, "Planning is the process of inventing the future." So I would suggest to you that if we were to engage in appropriate planning, ultimately that would produce, hopefully, the results that you're looking for, to answer your question.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
No.
Okay, thank you. And we're going to call the next applicant.
Yes.
And you can stay there for now.
I'll go back in the way.
Okay.
She's going to call in. I'm just letting her know.
Okay.
I get to sit there and sandwich with Susan.
There we go. Yes, help yourself.
Let's see it.
fabulous. Good afternoon. This is Melissa Wiggins-Saltera.
Good afternoon.
Hi, this is Les Sandelein, the president of the board. We're going to ask you, first of all, the entire board is here. We're going to ask you to spend a couple minutes saying why you wanted to run and some highlights of your CV and the other material that you presented, which we have read. And then I'll open it up to the board to ask you some questions. Does that sound okay?
Okay, I'm ready. So should I start?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity to explain about myself and my interest in being part of this important board, especially because I come from a migrant tropical family, and I myself were 10 children in my family, and having a large family was not an easy to be able to survive. That means that my family suffered a lot of hardships in terms of not only being able to find jobs, and then at the same time having to sustain the family, and then having many health issues for the same reason. No, because I come from that migrant family and the different hardships, being migrant was not an easy life, but at the same time, not understanding that there were maybe health services around, and not understanding maybe that some of the services were available for my family and everybody else that I lived right next to. I'm very much interested in being part of this appointment because I understand I have lived many years trying to support families to learn about what exists in the community where they live and in what way they can not only access services, different types of services, including health care, because our communities come from many different countries that there might not be services over there. And so therefore, many families do not understand what is prevention with health care. In terms of many others, aside from trying to survive it. And then I am very much interested because I've done a lot of work with not only families that are migrant farm workers, but families that are in need of getting different kinds of services. And when people don't have the services, it's much harder for them, or people don't know that services exist. People feel very powerless, and being in situations like that doesn't help at all when then there are illnesses and people don't know where to go, except, you know, find where it is, a hospital. And then by then, the illness has gone beyond. And that's one area. The other areas is in because I've worked doing the kind of work I've done organizing with farm worker women, I do believe that in our community we are we still believe that men are the head of the household. It's a very strong cultural value. At the same time, we understand that women are the center of the family, and being the center of the family, if we are prepared, we are people that are that can not only learn to access services, not only to prepare our family to have a better health, at the same time, better education, etc. So going through life, and maybe because you have my my historical resume. I can only say that I have done a lot of things that have helped people understand that services exist, and if they don't exist, we try to push for services to exist in different ways, by collaborating with organizations, by finding public officials to educating them to make sure that they understand what are some of the areas that they might not even know about, and that's something that has happened in my life. So all this time I worked doing statewide work and then national work. At the same time, I lived in the Coachella Valley before living in the Pomona Valley area to go back to school. I didn't have any high school before, and until I was over my 30s, I was able to be successful. I learned I was not only intelligent, but I could be on the dean's list to be able to understand many things. And I got a lot of scholarships so that I could provide college and university. While I did that, I worked with the women trying to seek services, and I did find a lot of disparities in health. Why? Because many of our communities that we represent, because they're rural, there's lack of services, or people don't know that the services are there, and if they're there, maybe the services need to be more prepared to respond in what we call working within the cultural context of a community. So if I get to serve on this board, I will have a lot of information about not only what exists or what are some of the needs that our communities have in the Coachella Valley. I've been in Thousand Palms since 2009, and I have seen some services that are needed in not only in Thousand Palms. I have family members all over the valley, not only because we come from a family of 10, but because our family of 10 has spread in terms of marrying other families. And so the majority of our families live in the Coachella Valley, and we understand and we know the types of needs that exist at the same time, what kind of services, and all of my family members are involved in providing either services or providing support or helping out in the community. And I think that my experience will help bring a lot more to what this important healthcare system has provided and this foundation has provided to all the community members in the part of the valley, and now that I know that has expanded to the eastern valley, I'm very, very happy that that's happening. So I don't know if this is somewhat helpful, but I do participate in national councils, even to the Environmental Protection Agency, which we all know as EPA. I have been on that council for the last 3.5 years, and I have been very, very instrumental in providing information about what are specific needs, with making sure that there is prevention and lead poisoning with farm workers and where there are toxic places, et cetera, et cetera. So with that, and I have also participated here in California with the Women's Health task force and council that has existed that has provided a lot of advice to the health department. So there's different experiences that I bring to this table, and I am very happy to answer questions that you might have of me.
Thank you. I'm going to open it up to questions from the directors now. Can we start with Director Borja?
Hello. What do you think are the biggest challenges currently facing the district, and why?
I have found that many of the challenges that residents have, that we also have worked through organizations that I've worked with, one of them being Leaders Campesinas, in terms of the transportation. And transportation is not just bringing people back and forth, but the valley is very warm, as we all know. When it's cold, it also can get very, very cold. But when it, because it has several, during the warm times out of the year, it's what, more than 6 months, people that are waiting to get the bus, there's still many, many places that don't have access to shade. There's places that don't even have benches, et cetera. So that's an area where, in terms of people being able to go get their health services, if we're encouraging people to go and do prevention services, get prevention, go to medical services, how will they be able to get to such places if not enough transportation is there? And we have been working around that, and there's been a lot of advance with that. And I know that that we need more of the transportation. Another is because the Coachella Valley is in its large proportion is agriculture. Farmers are still earning between 13 and up to maybe 17,000 a year, and you all know that's actually an annual earning that is very, very below poverty level. So we because we know that those are the earnings of adults, and even if two adults get together, it's a family of four or five, earning $25,000, $30,000 a year is very, very low for a family of six or four. And so we face those situations. We still see many homeless people. In Thousand Palms, I know pockets of areas of homelessness. I also volunteered with Volunteers in Medicine, which has been one of the recipients of this foundation. And we've gone at times during the Tuesday evenings to with some of the doctors and nurses to care for homeless people, and there's still a lot of work to be done there. We need more support. We need more. I can go on and on in terms of other services. I do understand that maybe because families earn very little, even if we have promotora bringing information to families about a better nutrition, many of these, especially women that we talk with, are saying, you can tell me all about nutrition, but if we don't have the money to buy all these fruits and vegetables that you're talking about, because we might not have enough to be able to pay the rent and to pay for childcare as we go to work, or our shoulders both are to be able to sustain the family, how can we try to be looking for a healthier and a nutritious food to try to survive it? And that's but those are some areas that I know.
We're going to go on to the next question. We can go on to the next question, Director Rogers. Matthews.
Billy, thank you very much. Just for the record, I too come from a family of 10, so I know you grew up in a very tight household. Thank you for your work with volunteers in medicine as well. One of the issues is we're the district has been expanded to the Salton Sea from roughly Cook Street. And there's approximately 250,000 more people, but there's currently no funding. Do you have any thoughts or ideas on what the district could do to serve those 250,000 people, either in the way of raising funding or finding funding?
Well, I can only say that it's not about just a few people getting engaged in organizing to fundraise for the 200,000. It's about how can we also organize so that we can get many of those families to support fundraisers that we do. If we do, for example, there's school districts that I know that at least I have one of my brothers that live in the Pomona area, Pomona Valley and Ontario area. And the schools, what they do is that they do a lot of different, what schools do in terms of selling not only candies or cookies or whatever, but they have gone as far as doing special events and have tried to get encourage parents to get engaged to do their own fundraisers. Now, I'm not advocating for us to just get families and engage in the kind of small fundraisers. I mean, there might be opportunities in terms of talking with public officials and try to find out with them how can we expand funds from what they know that they could that exists because of not only the taxes but because of so much that there is in need, and how can we prove that there is need, and how can we say we're going to use those funds? I know that in for example in the Salton Sea, Dr. Raoul Reeves, the representative, he has done a lot of great work in trying to push and get funding from the area that he needed to get the funding. And where I'm coming from here is let's think out of the box. In terms of not thinking only that there are certain ways to get money, we know that we have gotten families involved. I know that let me give you a very simple example. Our organization, when the recession happened between 2004, we started seeing that. It was an organization that we have here in California, and there was the organization was getting into debt because of abuse of credit cards, etc. And we found that there was a lot of need, and we needed $160,000. And people were saying, in order for you to get $160,000, you're going to need maybe 5 or 6 years to be able to accomplish that. And as women, we organized different communities. Of course, it was around the state, but we made a plan and we organized And in a year and a half, we've got not only funding sources, businesses, and different kinds of groups and even agencies to support. And the 160,000 went up to 200,000 that we were able to get in less than a year. And that was by getting the community involved. And I'm talking about women that, at least women that I directly have worked with, earn between 11 and 13,000. So it's about, you know, getting people enthusiastic and getting people motivated to plan and be specific about what you do. But the plan is explaining and engaging people to be part of whatever plan you prepare.
We're going to have to move along to the next question. I'm going to ask you to keep your questions answers a little shorter because we're running out of time. Director DeLara.
Okay, well, Millie, this is Leti DeLara, and congratulations on meeting your funding goal. And my question to you is, what is your understanding of the roles and duties of a healthcare district board member?
Well, I have participated in boards, and I understand that it's about understanding the governance of the entity, understanding the philosophy, the mission of the entity, and working, having the responsibility of fundraising for that entity. And as you do that, it gives way for the board members to really be strategic about how to move forward. But understanding that as a board member, you have to be very careful in terms of if we are representing constituents, be the first ones to listen to what the constituents really need. For me, those are key. I want to be a very strong board member and someone that has a good representation, transparency is very important, honesty is very important. At the same time, you're looking at everything I just said.
Thank you. Director Rogers.
Dr. Rogers, I got a medical degree. Hi, this is Carol Rogers. My question has to do with our responsibility as the property owner of Desert Regional Medical Center. And we're facing both the seismic upgrade needs and also the lease is expiring in 8 years. Do you have any ideas of how our board might approach that?
Okay. I did have a lot of hard time hearing you, so I am so sorry.
So can you repeat that?
The question was, is the healthcare district owns the property of Desert Regional uh-huh. Medical Center, although it's operated by Tenet. Yes. And we face a lease that's up in 8 years and some seismic issues. Do you have any ideas on how the board should approach the impending end of the lease and dealing with seismic issues?
So there's 6-7 years that they own lease?
The lease is a 30-year lease. The lease is 30 years uh-huh. starting in 1997. And so, or 1998, okay. It ends in 2028, and we now need to start negotiating what we're going to do at the end of the lease. Are you familiar with that at all?
I am somewhat familiar, but I would ask the question. I would ask these questions anyway. How effective has been this this collaboration? Lease or not, you know, that having a lease is a collaborative business. And how effective has that been? In what way has this collaboration been helpful? And have we been able to support for that collaboration to be successful? How is it that we will be able to provide support during this next year before the end of the lease so that there is a continuum? Because if it for the last 20 some years it has provided the support is needed to be successful in doing what they need to do, how are we also being supported? So I would go back in terms of looking at that first and then finding ways to help us, all of us think, how is this going to be something that we can work together, just ourselves? I would say if this board also just decided to expand the representation of the valley, it took some years to really understand the importance of doing that. So for everything, it's about trying to understand how we can support that and how can we not only look at what is it going to be profitable? Is it going to be giving us a good image? But in what way are we contributing for that to happen? Because in the first place, we did that consciously in terms of leasing and because we felt it was important, and if we still feel it's important, which I would think about it, that it is. So how can we work together to make it a successful relationship so that when it comes, we think about how we can help out.
Okay. Are there any other questions from board members for this applicant? Thank you very much for participating. You're welcome to stay on the call. We have one more candidate who we're going to bring in now. And can we go and get her, please? Would you have a seat here? Thank you for waiting. I'm sorry that you had to go last.
No problem.
What we ask is that you spend just a few minutes saying why you wanted to apply for this position and maybe some of the highlights or some of the things that might not be in your CV, which we have looked at, and your work experience. And then we'll open it up to questions from the board. Okay.
Well, to be honest with everybody, I didn't even know you guys existed until a friend of mine reached out to me and asked me to apply for this position. And so I was looking into it, and you know, I've always told my kids that, you know, we're not put here on earth just to receive. That whenever we have the opportunity to share our knowledge and share our experiences and collaborate with other people to make this world a little bit better, that we should take that opportunity to always say yes. So for me, that was the reason that I said yes. I wanted to be able to go beyond my scope of what I'm doing. I serve a community in the role that I'm in now, but like I said, I didn't know you existed. So to be able to go outside of our own egocentric bubble and reach out even further into the community whenever that opportunity presents itself, I think is a wonderful thing. So currently, I work as the Director of Clinical Services, as you can see, at Desert Oasis. I've been a nurse for 27 years. I have experience in neuro ICU. I've worked in trauma ICU. I've been a recovery room nurse. I've worked home health. And I've worked as a hospital case manager. So my team right now, we have nurses and support staff that actually coordinate care for all of our patients that need help once they've utilized or been out of the hospital and they need different either assistance with the referral process, or they need assistance with transportation, or they need assistance with getting to different specialist or primary care. We coordinate and help hold their hands whenever they've had some type of critical event or a new diagnosis or multiple comorbidities and they need assistance with that.
Okay, I think I'll open the questions if that's okay. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the history of Desert Regional Medical Center and also its relationship to the district and
I just read about it, yes.
Well, and since you just read about it, you know, one of the issues we face is there's another 8 years left on our 30-year lease, mm-hmm. and some of the important work of the board over the next year or two is going to be addressing that. And I wonder if you have any thoughts about that or your experience with Desert Regional or with the district, which you hadn't heard about before today.
Well, I don't have a lot of experience with the district, but I think that it's always important to collaborate with our community hospitals, that we should have a good working relationship, that we should collaborate on multiple levels. Clinically, holistically, obviously we need strong administrative staff to continue the relationship, to foster it, and not only continue it, but to make it stronger and better so that we can benefit the community as a whole.
Okay. Would you like to ask a question?
What do you think are the challenges or we are going to face with the expansion to the east?
Well, I think that there's always limited resources when we're going east that way. You know, I think that finding appropriate providers to go that way, to be over on the east side, is going to be a very important issue. Reaching out to the community, making sure that we have resources in place that can communicate and understand the population that is on the east side of the valley is also very important.
Director Rogers.
I was just wondering, you know, because this is a government board and mm-hmm. a district board, if you understand the role of the board and its place in the community and about any of the priorities that we've established?
I'm learning that, I'll be honest with you. You know, that I understand that you are run, as a government board, you definitely have very stringent guidelines and rules that you must follow, and it would be a process of learning that with you.
Director
How would you go about engaging the community and learning more about what are the major issues to bring forward?
I think you have to do outreach. You have to actually be in the community. You can't just do things telephonically or do things by just putting paperwork out there. You know, the nurses that I have, we engage our community telephonically, and what I've noticed is that when you go out and meet people face to face, it makes all the difference in the world, because they earn your trust, they know who you are, they put a face with a name, and you can speak to them. And when you speak to them and they feel that they have somebody that's listening, that actually understands and that cares for them, then you can take that information back.
Director Matthews.
Deferring to me.
Oh, okay.
Hi. I'm Karen.
Hi.
Do you think it's more appropriate for the district to be a provider of healthcare services or a supporter of existing community programs and services?
I think that you should be doing both. I think that healthcare should be accessible to as many people as possible. I know that there are already existing programs that you guys are involved in, And I think that that's a great thing that should be continued, but when you should be able to expand on that. It seems like this board is involved in more than just healthcare. And so healthcare is a very important component of someone's life, and it's a very important component of who they are and how healthy they are. But it's not the whole person. The whole person has to be viewed as what else is out there in the community for them. What are their family situations like? Are we looking at, you know, when we have patients that are unable to take their medication, are they non-compliant, or is it because they don't have the access to them? Do they not? Maybe they have the resources, but they can't get to the pharmacy. So I think that when we look at the community as a whole, you have to look at the whole picture. You can't just focus on one thing.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I'm going to ask mine. As we expand the district beyond Cook Street to essentially the Salton Sea, mm-hmm. There's no funding involved in the expansion. So my question to you is, do you have any thoughts on how we're going to pay for that? 150,000 residents.
Oh, that's a really good question. But I'm happy to work with you. That's a huge community. You know, we have, I will say, I have a patient right now that lives in Thermal and has to come all the way here for her oncology appointments, and she doesn't have transport. So every single day we see different struggles that people have, and we have to figure out a way that we can help them overcome that. And I can only begin to imagine what the funding needs will be on that side of the community.
Great, thank you.
Are there any other questions? Okay, before I ask for nominations,
I do have one more question. We are about 8 years away from doing something with Elise on the hospital. Mm-hmm. Do you have strong feelings one way or the other about Tenet Healthcare managing and operating Desert Regional Medical Center?
I have worked with Tenet, not directly, but indirectly through my line of work. And I've always had good communication with them. I was a hospital case manager at JFK. I was able to interact with their staff without any issues. I interact with Desert Regional on a routine basis because of the patients that we have that come here. And I've had a favorable experience with them. So.
Thank you.
Okay, now I'm going to ask the board members if they want to have any discussion before we open the floor to nominations. Is there any discussion from board members?
Well, I thought it was easier being on this side, but now I find that it's harder because...
She went through this a few
times. So I appreciate the fact that that we've had some really good candidates today and that you have an interest in serving, so thank you all.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I now announce that nominations are open from the floor, and I would ask board members if they would like to nominate any of the four candidates, Patricia Saleh, Arthur Shore, Millie Trevino-Saceda, or Sue Ann Stone, formally nominate. Do I hear any nominations?
Yeah, I'll nominate Arthur Shore.
Okay. Do I hear any other nominations?
I'll nominate Millie
Devine. Okay. Do I hear any other nominations? Okay, hearing no other nominations, the nominations are closed. And I will ask Mr. Scott to pass out the ballots. Each board member will write their selection amongst the two nominated candidates, Mr. Arthur Shore and Ms. Millie Trevino-Saceda. And go to it.
Okay, so this is the hard part, and so I'm going to, Ben, I'm going to start with you and take the top one that's got your name on it, pass it down to Carol, Les, etc. Take it on the top, and then I'd like you to write who you would like to vote for, and then you could fold it and pass it back up the line, if you would, and then I will, in keeping with transparency, keep. I will announce the directors and their vote. Did you have one?
We have a couple more here.
Okay. Okay, Yvette votes for Millie. Mark votes for Mr. Shore. Karen votes for Mr. Shore. Letitia votes for Millie. Les votes for Arthur Shore. And Carol votes for Mr. Shore.
I believe there are four votes.
Yes, so we'd like to take an opportunity to get a motion and a second for a resolution.
Do I hear a motion?
And so we can have unanimity.
I make a motion that we accept, that we nominate unanimously for Mr. Shore.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Now we'll have a roll call.
So we have Director Borja.
Yes.
Director Perezquio?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President DeLara?
Yes.
And President Zindel?
Yes. I want to thank the other candidates, please,
yes,
for applying. It's never an easy thing to do, and we were lucky we had great candidates, so thank you very much.
Especially
and I will ask Mr. Scott to administer the oath of office.
Ladies, you're welcome to stay for the oath of office, and we thank you for your participation.
You know, this was gonna
be hello.
Thank you very much.
If one of the people on the phone had gotten had won, well, this would have been very short, okay? Because we can't swear anybody in without being in person, and we can't even invite them into the meeting. So. Mr. Short, come on over here. Now, you know, I do this every time.
Be patient. This
yeah,
is a spiel.
I do this every time.
For sure.
But I think it's really important.
I'll be back in 10.
So bear with me.
Yeah.
As I've said before, you all heard this, but taking the oath of office is a very long, sacred tradition in our country. And it goes all the way back to the Constitution. If you read the Constitution, you'll see that all the federal judges are required to take the oath of office. And as we all know, all presidents are required to take an oath of office and swear allegiance to our country. And things went along pretty smoothly until the Civil War. And with the outbreak of the Civil War and shifting loyalties, things got a little more concerning, and Abraham Lincoln, in 1861, issued an executive order that required all employees in the executive branch to swear allegiance to our country and take this oath of office. Shortly thereafter, Congress passed a very broad statute that requires all appointed and elected officials to take the oath of office. And today, all servicemen and all elected officials or appointed officials throughout the country take the oath of office and swear allegiance to our country. So it's with great pleasure that I get to administer the oath, and hopefully I won't mess it up, but we'll see how it goes. So Mr. Shore, would you raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear.
I do
I do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies foreign and domestic and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California and I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion and I will well and truthfully fulfill the duties upon which I'm about to enter Congratulations.
Do I have to make an acceptance?
No.
Please go.
Okay, we're going to call the meeting back to order. We have one piece of new business, and that is the consideration of approval of a letter of support for Assembly Bill 890, which seeks to expand the role of nurse practitioner's scope of practice. The resolution, the letter is in your packet. And I would ask if there is a motion. A motion that we approve this action.
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Then let's have a roll call.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perezquio?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President DeLara?
Yes.
President Zindel?
Yes.
And Director Shore.
Yes.
Your first vote. All right. Well, I'm going to now close the open meeting and convene a closed meeting of the Board of Directors. I thank all the guests for coming.
We're out. Thank you. Congratulations.
Congratulations.